You're listening to Consider This, episode 170, for March 6, 2017.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are. I hope you're having fun, because I know I am. I'm Doug Payton, and this is Consider This, a podcast where we have fun with my conservative commentary and your feedback. The fun's over in 10 minutes or less, so you can get back to whatever you do for fun. If this show isn't enough fun for you, well, consider stopping by the website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. With a transcript, all the web pages I referred to, and a place to comment, it's more fun than you can possibly imagine. Stop by and let me know what you think. A fake constitutional crisis, some examples of what some folks call fake news, and some real listener feedback. That's coming up. I take topic suggestions from listeners. If there's something you're wondering about, a question you have, or something you'd like to hear my take on, feel free to let me know. I'll have ways to get in touch at the end of the episode. Listener Doc H. wrote in the comment section of the last episode regarding the leaks from the intelligence community that were designed to harm the Trump administration. Here's what he said.
You said, quote, "But that doesn't excuse these banana republic type actions," close quote, by the now dead and or dying Democratic Party Liberalati. Yes, that is exactly what it is. I love you, man. These demonstrative liberal inculcations are classic gorilla-slash-gorilla,
as in the tactic and the animal,
guerrilla warfare tactics right out of the Chinese, Vietnamese, Cuban, North Korean, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan, etc. playbook, and are not only wrong for this representative republic, but are seditious, slanderous, libelous, and treasonous to boot. What needs to happen are punitive arrests followed by extreme rendition to Gitmo/Guantanamo Bay to fill the kennel stalls that President Obama seen Baldwin recently vacated, who let the dogs/thugs out. But I am only a cross-party moderate by nature, not a henchman. A few hundred deposits in the abysmal Pelican Bay State Prison in California may be motive enough to stop the anarchy being inflicted on the wholesome 90% heart of this great country.
Oh, don't mince words, Doc. Tell us what you really think. Indeed, this is not a good precedent to be setting so early in a new administration. Thanks, Doc, for writing in. Wow, when an untelevised press briefing was held, and some media outlets weren't invited, you'd think we were having a constitutional crisis. Let me explain. Sean Spicer, Trump's press secretary, held an off-camera press briefing in his office on Friday, February 24th. Now, in press parlance, this is known as a gaggle. You know, like a gaggle of geese. Their word, not mine. However, when reporters from the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, Politico, BuzzFeed, the BBC, and the Guardian tried to enter Spicer's office for the gaggle, they were told they could not attend because they were not on the list of attendees. Conservative news organizations like Breitbart, the Washington Times, and One America News Network were let in. This, of course, sent the anti-Trumpers into full outrage mode, which they seemed to be in 24/7, so it was hard to tell. So consider this. I agree that this was probably not a good idea. The press has been very consistent in staying unified when one organization is being treated unfairly. When Obama froze out Fox News and wouldn't give it interviews, the press corps would not stand for it and complained loudly. Yes, even for Fox News. In this case, reporters from the Associated Press, Time Magazine, and USA Today walked out of the meeting in protest. And the Wall Street Journal, generally a right-leaning paper, complained loudly. This is as it should be. Yes, all the news organizations will still get the same information, ultimately. But boldly playing favorites is not presidential. Yes, presidents of the past from both parties have played favorites and manipulated the press. But this isn't something we should be encouraging. At the same time, The patented outrage machine turned things up to 11, once again. Some thought this was a permanent ban. It wasn't. It was just one briefing. Some claimed it was a First Amendment issue regarding either or both the freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Nope, not that either. The press is still free to say what they want, like, oh, criticizing the government for this very action. Freedom of speech is not freedom of access. There is no constitutional right to be part of a gaggle, even if you self-identify as a goose. Speaking of media geese, the whole fake news thing has really been quite the buzzword. I don't like the term exactly. It assumes that the major media outlets are creating their own news, like some of those clickbait headlines you see on social media from places like BuzzFeed. Wait, they were one of the organizations frozen out by Sean Spicer. Okay. Well, anyway, the implication is that these stories were made up just to get clicks and shares, and I don't want to paint the entire major media with a broad brush. However, there are people who have been chronicling all the stories from the major media, either during the Trump administration or even prior to that, where Trump or Republicans seem to be to blame, that have turned out to be false. Daniel Payne, writing at The Federalist, is one such person. He lists 16 separate news stories that were either poorly sourced or based on untrue claims. The issue, as they say, was that the lie went halfway around the world before truth was even able to put its shoes on. And in the days of social media, the lie goes around the world 10 times before truth even knows the lie is out there. So then, Mr. Payne lists news stories like these. After Trump's election, there was a spike in transgendered suicides. Trump's pick for Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, had overseen a company that foreclosed on a 90-year-old woman after a 27-cent payment error. Trump's pick for Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, thought that all schools in America should have guns in case grizzly bears attack. Trump threatened to invade Mexico. The House of Representatives voted to scrap background checks for gun ownership. There are 11 more, but some are just mistakes that I think are honest ones, and some are more egregious. The big thing is, the false story was shared all over the news media and social networks, but the correction, if one was even issued, didn't get nearly the same play. Are these items fake news? I'll let you decide, but this reminds me of another story topic that seems to attract a lot of mistakes. The Israeli and Palestinian issue. It seems like whenever the press makes a mistake, it's always in the same direction. The mistake always makes Israel look bad, and it always does the same for Trump. It's almost as if the media are ready to dump all objectivity if it fits their narrative. But it's not fake news. Is it? Well, that was fun. Well, I thought so, and if you did too, let me know. Write me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com or call me at 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280. And just like the good doc, you can get your feedback right here on the show. Wouldn't that be fun? But no need to remember all that. Just stop by considerthis.ctpodcasting.com for these and other ways to get in touch, including social media. Speaking of social media, sharing the show notes on the website is a great way to get the word out on these issues. You can post it with the comment, "I don't know if I agree totally with this guy, but you may want to consider this."